Again, happy Father's Day, you dads, grandpas. It's a blessing, isn't it? And in honor of you today, turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. And I'll make it easy on you. That's the first book in the Old Testament. The first book. Now, I said chapter 18, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 18. When you get there, stand with me, please. We've got three verses to read. That'll be our text. This morning, I want to speak to you on the subject of the privilege that we have as godly men. And we do have privileges. Amen? So is everybody there? All right. Genesis chapter 18, beginning with verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Let's pray. Father, again, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here. Thankful, Lord, just your grace and your mercy and your love for us. Father, I thank you for allowing me this privilege, being able to stand before your people and to share your precious word. I ask that you just bring to my mind and memory those things I've studied this week as I was prepared. Let me preach those things you've laid upon my heart with boldness and authority. Lord, may your people be encouraged in the word this morning. And Lord, we pray especially if there's one here that doesn't know you, that your Holy Spirit will convict and convince him to call upon the name of the Lord before it's eternally too late. May everything that we do bring honor and glory to you. Be of those prayer requests that were brought before you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated? The context of this passage is God is fixing to pour his wrath out on Sodom and Gomorrah. I'll stop right there and say this. If we don't get our act together as a nation, God's going to end up doing the same thing to us. In fact, I believe he already is. I want you to understand, you can't play games with a holy, righteous God. Now, America has been blessed as no other country in the world. We are blessed as a people, but look where we are today. Look what's happening amongst us today. And then people are wondering why. I'll tell you why. Brother Bill brought it up. We've turned our backs on God. We've gotten away from God and his word. Anytime people start despising God as a nation, that's when that nation is fixing to be destroyed. Because God don't play. Now, Abraham is fixing to Abraham. God's fixing to pour out his wrath, and he wants to talk to Abraham. And beloved, what a beautiful picture of the relationship that God and Abraham had. In fact, of course Abraham was in awe of God. Of course Abraham loved God and had a close, intimate walk with God. But notice, it appears as if God's saying, "That's my friend." Now listen to me, men. We can have the same relationship with God that Abraham had. Amen? And I want you to understand something this morning. There's a lot of great benefits of being saved. Amen? I'll tell you what, missing hell is high on my list. Having my sins forgiven, up there on the list. Having a walk with the God of the universe, the creator of all things, that's high on my list. And those are wonderful benefits that we have if we're redeemed. But not only are those nice things, but you understand as a godly man, we also have certain privileges. But listen to me. With those privileges come responsibility. And I'm here to tell you, it's scary at times. But we have been guaranteed certain privileges. Notice with me in verse 19, this first three words. This is what God said. For I know him. Who's God referring to? He's referring to Abraham. And understand, we have that same privilege of being intimate with God. Now, I'll go ahead and say it. We're not as intimate with the Lord as He wants us to be. And He is with us. Because we are saved, because we've been born again, washed by the blood, saved and secure in Christ, listen to me, He wants us to have an intimate fellowship and walk with Him. And if you're saved, your sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit has come into your heart and indwelled you. And we have access now to the Father. Amen. But our problem is this. We got too many things on our minds. You see, well, I've got to work, preacher. I've got to supply the needs of my family. I have to put a roof over their head. I have to make sure they got clothes on their back, food in their bellies. I have to do all of this. And God understands, and God knows what you stand in need of before you even ask Him. And God has already provided those things. So what else is your excuse? You see, He wants us to have an intimate walk with Him. And let me tell you something. You can't get more intimate with God than when we have the privilege of prayer in our lives. Amen? When we have the privilege of prayer. You know, we know that prayer changes things. And we know it's through God's power and mercy and grace that prayers are answered every day in our lives. And we see it. And we take advantage of it. And we thank God for it. Everybody's in agreement with that, right? But can I tell you something? You know why I pray? Well, you're a preacher. You have to pray. Well, yeah. I should pray if I'm a preacher. That's true. But you know the privilege I have of being intimate with God through prayer? You know what usually happens when we pray in intimacy with God? We become more like the one we're praying to, God. And that is why I encourage my brothers, as men of God, pray. You pray for your family, you pray for your church, and above all, you pray for your country nowadays. And you pray that God would allow you to become more and more like Him. And it's through prayer that we become more and more like Him. And I'll go ahead and throw this in too. And I won't charge you. It's free today. The more we pray, the more we pray and we become more like the Father. Get this if you don't get nothing else. The more we become more like Him, guess what? We stop praying for ourselves and the things that we want, and we start putting others first. We pray about the needs of others. We take ourselves out of the picture. But again, it all begins with that intimate walk with the Lord. And He wants us to have that privilege. God said, hey, I know Him. Not only did He say, I know Him, which means this. He knows every fiber of who we are. He knows the heart. He knows the thoughts. And why we try to pull the wool over His eyes? No use. Ain't no use. You're wasting your time. He knows you. And you might fool me, you might fool others, but you ain't never going to fool Him. He knows if you belong to Him or not. A lot of folks under the pretense, oh, well, I go to church, I belong to Him. You can go to church till the last breath you take. If you don't have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord through the Savior, you're going to go to hell. It's going to do you no good. You've got to be born again. Now, notice what He says. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Think about that. God thought so much of Abraham that He's literally going to tell him the plans He had for pouring out His wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me ask you a question. How close are you to the Lord? Abraham had to be pretty close if God's going to not hold anything back. Notice with me what He says. And shall I hide from Abraham that which thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now, let me say something else. We're talking about prayer. Notice God told Abraham what He was about to do. And basically, the reason He told him was so that Abraham himself might become an intercessor for Sodom and Gomorrah, just as Jesus is our intercessor. You see, the Lord told Abraham what He was going to do. Understand, we have the privilege of intercessing for our family. For our neighbors, for our friends. And there's nothing greater than you that you and I can do than intercess and go in their behalf before God and pray for them and their needs, especially spiritually. Think about that. You see, prayer is important, and that is a privilege. And that's part of being intimate with God. Men, we have that privilege. And let me just say this. If you'll read verses 20 on down to 33, talks about Abraham intercessing and saying, Father, please don't hold it against me, but if I can just find 50 righteous people, will you spare the city? Then it's 40, and then it's 30, and then it's 20. Lord, if I can find just 10 people, will you spare? And of course, the sad thing is, he couldn't even find 10 righteous people in that whole city. And you know, he had a wife, sons, and daughters. I'm sure they even had children, some of them. Not many. But there wasn't even 10. But listen to me. I want you to get this. Abraham wasn't Jewing God down. Amen. He wasn't Jewing God down. He just came to the same conclusion God had, that it's grace, it's love, and it's mercy, and God already occupied that. You see, there wouldn't even hint. But it doesn't change the fact that he was still an intercessor. Let me ask you, are you intercessing for your family? Are you praying every day for your wife? Are you praying every day for your sons and daughters? Are you praying every day for your co-workers, your neighbors? Are you praying for your country and its leaders? Second privilege I want us to take a look at is privilege of our involvement in our family's lives. You know, it's a privilege to be a parent, isn't it? I know when we first start out as parents, all of us is asked, what did we do? Why? What were we thinking? Because it's new. And I don't know about you, I can only answer for myself, but I made a mistake or two as a father. Have you, Dad? Mom? You ever made some mistakes? Well, yeah, that's how life is. Amen. We make mistakes sometimes as parents. I've yet to meet a perfect parent. Are you one of those perfect parents? May I be introduced to you? Because I want to ask you what the secret is. Because even as a man of God, as a born-again child of God, preacher's wife, same thing, sometimes our kids can stray off. And they can do things that really don't please us. But listen, they're still our children. Amen. Look at verse 19. For I know him that he will command his children. Notice that word, command, carries the idea of issuing orders. I know that he will teach them the word of God. Command your kids to know the word of God. Do we have a responsibility to teach our kids the word of God? You know what's wrong with our country today? We as parents and as a generation haven't taught these kids the word of God. That's the truth, y'all. Never been so sick as seeing people marching down the street with vulgarity on a sign, proud of it. You think to yourselves, that generation don't have a clue. But before we throw rocks at them and condemn them, our generation has messed up and not taught them like we should. And we're going to give an account to God for it. Notice, for I know that he will command his children and his household after him. That's why it's important that we come to church when we can. We pray when we can with our families, our children, grandchildren. We share our faith with them, share our testimony with them, also with those that are out. And let me just say something. Believe it or not, we've been commanded to do that. Not only have we been commanded to share the holy word of God, but listen to me. Also, not only should we share it, the word, but our actions, the way we walk, should also be there so that, as an example, so that they'll follow it. You know what? When we die, our testimony doesn't die. It's left behind. And it's going to affect folks way on down the line. That's just like Abraham. God told him, you're going to be a blessing to all nations. And Abraham didn't have a clue until after he was gone. But it's just like God said, even to all the unborn. And let me stop right there about the unborn. God is going to hold His people accountable for allowing genocide to go on all of these years. You say, well, Brother John, it's the government. There's nothing we can do. You can pray. And you can stand for the truth. And if it hurts a baby killer's feelings, too bad. It's murder in the eyes of God. Period. But oh, we don't want to cause... That's exactly right, brother. Absolutely. And we wonder why we're in the shape we're in. I'll tell you why. We've stopped praying and we've stopped standing for what's right. Y'all get mad at me for what I'm fixing to say, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. We, as God's children, you better start standing. Period. Because if we don't stand as His church, listen to me, they're going to do everything in their power to keep us down and take the church out from under us. And that means if you have to come to church with a gun, come to church with a gun. Amen. You have to bow up, be willing to give your life, be willing to do it. Say, Brother John, we ain't supposed to carry guns to church. Folks, I got one on my hip right now. It's my responsibility to protect the flock. Some idiot comes through that door, I hope he knows Jesus. I'm not going to ask him if he does or not. Because I have a responsibility. I'm not trying to scare you. And no, I don't run up and down showing my gun. But I have one, and the reason I do is to protect you, my church family, and my family. But we got to stand and we got to be willing to do it. Everybody wants to be so complacent. Everybody wants to, oh, I don't want to make no waves. It's time the church make waves. Amen. We have to. This nonsense going on in our country, I know I'm kind of getting off the message, but listen to me. These people rioting, these people taking over blocks, are you kidding me? It wouldn't have happened a few years ago. But because, oh, we don't want to hurt no one. Hurt them. Make examples out of them. Because if we don't, they're going to keep taking and taking, and then it's going to be over with. And these kids aren't going to have the same country we grew up in. So folks, make up your mind. You see, God knew Abraham was going to be a mighty nation. Abraham didn't understand it, but God had a path for Abraham. God has a path for you and for me. And I may not understand the path sometimes that He leads me down, but I do know this. When I follow Him in obedience, He blesses. Understand. Abraham had no clue how God was going to use him. But do you understand? Today, we're feeling the blessings from his obedience to God. Today. Elijah, David, Daniel, go on down the list, Job. They had no idea how God was going to bless them. But they were obedient and God blessed. You and I have no idea what tomorrow holds. We don't know where or what path God's going to lead us down. But understand this, if you'll do it in obedience, He'll bless you and you'll be glad you did. That's what He did with Abraham. I know Him. And He's going to command His children and His household to keep my statutes. Fathers, we have a responsibility to do that. And let me just say something. I'm glad to be a man. How about you, men? Wow, y'all are really... I am glad God made me a man. I'm glad that God designed me after Him. I'm proud to be a man. Now, I know there's some feminazis out there. Amen. Libbers. that don't want men to be man. They don't want them masculine. They want them little sissies. Oh. Yep, here you go. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I want to tell you, I'm glad God made me a man. And I'm glad, ladies, that God made you a female. And you're special. You're a wonderful vessel. And listen, you're not a second-class citizen. Amen. You're not second-class. And we're to honor you. And we're to take care of you. And we're blessed to have you as our helpmates. But listen to me. Men are supposed to be men. And we as fathers and grandfathers have a responsibility to our grandchildren that are boys to raise them up in a godly, manly fashion. And grandma, don't give me that stuff. You're too rough on him. You can't be rough enough. Amen. You don't want them to be sissies. See too much of that. That's our problem. We're afraid to say anything. My Lord. My cousin, God rest his soul, he got killed in a hunting accident. My Aunt Sharon and Uncle Jimmy's boy. I'll never forget, we had a family gathering. I don't know what it was, but everybody went to Grandma and Grandpa's. My cousin came into the house and he's sitting there and he came over to me. I was the oldest. He goes, "Hey, John, look." He had an ear bob in his earlobe. I said, "Kevin, you better not let Grandpa see that." He goes, "Oh, Grandpa won't say nothing." Okay. Well, Grandpa finally noticed the ear bob. "Kevin Dale." "Yeah, Grandpa." Rip, blood shooting out of his earlobe. He says, "My grandson don't wear jewelry in his ear." And of course, Grandpa, and of course, my aunt was kind of upset with Grandpa. But he just said, "No, hey, you boys, you girls, you kids weren't raised that way." We got outside and Kevin's got this big old Band-Aid over his ear. And I said, "You're stupid." I said, "I told you, what was you thinking coming over here with that?" He goes, "I wasn't thinking." I said, "Yeah, right." Again, men need to be men. Now, listen to me though. Men, God has given us leadership position in the home and his church. And with it comes big responsibility. Listen, if we'll be the man God saved us to be, the godly man that exercises that privilege as being a born-again child of God, living and serving the Lord, he's going to bless us. But again, isn't it time that men step up to the plate and be what God called them to be in the church and at home? You see those kids marching down the street? I'm going to go ahead and tell you. They ain't had many men to encourage them and be an example to them. Because the majority of them have been deadbeat. God help us. God help us. Aren't you thankful Abraham wasn't that away? You see, he realized the privilege God gave him. This time we do the same thing. One more privilege, not hush. We have the privilege of intimacy with God the Father. We have the privilege of having a relationship with our family, being the head of the house. It is a privilege. We shouldn't take it lightly. But we also have the privilege of knowing the future if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen? You see, if you are saved, you know where you're going. Amen. You can't scare me with heaven. Amen. If I get COVID, I get COVID. Worst case scenario, and I go and wake up in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I don't fear what man can do to me, but I fear Him that has the power. And notice I said the power to send my soul to hell. Now, He doesn't want to do that, and if you trust His Son as your Savior, you don't ever have to worry about that. But if you reject Him, hell is your destiny. That's just how it is. Notice what He says in verse 19. Look at this with me, if you will. Notice, "For I know that He will command His children and His household after Him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." And notice the word "Lord" may bring upon Abraham that which He has spoken of Him. Notice God refers to Himself as the Lord. You know, that means the self-existent one, the all-knowing one, the one that is in control of everything. And what I want to get across to you is this. Abraham knew by accepting God as his God and taking advantage of the privileges that the Father bestowed upon him, Abraham knew that that path one day would lead him home to be with the Father. Because God is who He is, He's all-powerful, He's all-knowing, He's everywhere at all times, we are not alone. And we, as His children, know where we're going when we leave here. And we can trust Him. Amen? Listen, man will let you down every time. Things will let you down every time. But you know who never fails? It's God. He will keep His promises to you and to me. I have a home in heaven. How about you? And He's in control of the future. We may be here another 100 years. I doubt it, but we could be. Oh, we may be gone before we say the last amen and go out the door. But I know this. The Lord's in control of our future. And the bottom line is, because of who He is, there's nothing for you and I to worry about. Even though the world is crumbling around us. And yes, I talk to the TV. I yell at it. I get upset. I say things that I probably shouldn't say. No, I'm not cursing. Look at you. Oh, buddy. No, no, no. When Jesus saved me, He cleaned my mouth. But I do say idiot a lot. Stupid a lot. Of course, my wife, she hates that word, stupid. But listen to me. Even though it seems like everything is in chaos and it's crumbling and we've lost everything, God's still in control. Right. He's still powerful. He still has promised us a certain, not a maybe, but a certain future if we'll just trust Him. And it is a privilege, men, to know where our futures are leading. May not understand everything, just like Abraham. He had no clue. what God had in store until it become a fact. I don't understand everything there is to know about heaven. In fact, God made sure He only gave man just a little glimpse. And I think I know why. If He revealed to us everything that we have waiting for us, that He's prepared for His people, you know what would happen if we knew how glorious it's going to be? A lot of us would be jumping out of airplanes, out of windows, walking down the middle of the street on a highway or something, because we'd want to get there. No, He just gave us a little glimpse, a little taste to know, oh, what it's going to be like when we're there. That's what the future holds for every born-again child of God. But if you're here this morning and you don't know the Savior, your future is going to be altogether different. You see, your future is going to be in an eternity away from God who loves you, but with the devil and those that have rejected God's Son, Jesus, in a place called hell. I know today people don't believe, oh, I just can't. There's a hell, y'all, just as well as there's a heaven. If you're redeemed, you're spared that place. So in close, men, thank God for the privileges He's given you. Men, get intimate with God. Be with your family. Take advantage of being an intercessor for them. Fellowship with them. Be there for them. And remember what God has in store for you in your future. Remember that. And live for the future. What I'm saying is give God your best. Amen. Give your all. We've gotten away from it. God help us. Be the man God has saved you to be. Would you stand with me, please, and bow your heads?